So being a dad is one of my favorite things in the whole world. It's also one of the scariest things in the whole world. And it has been from the moment that we found out that Micah was on the way. I started meeting with a mentor immediately, still meet with him to this day, and I still ask the same question that I asked on our very first meeting, and that's, how do I not mess this up too badly? Okay, how do I not mess this up too badly? It's amazing how many books there are on parenting, and they all sound great until you have a kid, yeah? Every idea is awesome until you have a child. And then you realize that all of the parenting experts are just making it up. They don't know what they're talking about any more than you do, because there's no manual for this. And everything is happening so fast. And you're just trying to wrap your head around what's going on. I mean, you finally get the crib together after only 17 hours and 17,000 Allen wrench screws because crib makers hate you. Why is that? But then you finally get that together and you take the picture because you need that. And then you spend the next few months wondering, why did I put this crib together? Because that baby ain't sleeping in that crib. That baby is sleeping in the bassinet in your room. That's what they're doing. You know, the only way we could get Micah to go to sleep was to strap him in his car seat and put him in the bassinet in our room in the car seat like we were getting ready to go for a ride. You got to do what you got to do to survive, my man. That's just the reality of the situation. And then you like finally feel like, okay, I'm never going to sleep again, but I think it's going to be okay. We're going to make it through this. And then a new phase starts and you're back at square one going, how do I not mess this up too badly? And why did God trust me with these kids? And why wasn't there some kind of test or form that I had to fill out? Why did they release this child to me? What is happening? And this is true for every parent I've ever met. And this is true even if we don't have kids on our own. Like, if people trust you with their kids, they trust you for real. That's a level of trust that is deep, because those kids are more precious to them than they can even put into words. And so many of the things that we worry about as parents revolve around our children, don't they? And to say that we have trust issues when it comes to our kids, I don't know if I can make a more understated statement than that. So how do we know who to trust, how to trust, when to trust, and what to do with these incredible blessings from God? We're going to unpack that today as we continue our series called Forging Families. But all of this starts with a simple acknowledgement, but it's a difficult acknowledgement at the same time. And the acknowledgement is this: we are not going to do this perfectly. We're just not. Because every one of us has some level of dysfunction in our own lives and in our families. Now, we handle it different ways. Some of us put the fun in dysfunction, while others of us are crippled with anxiety because we're certain that this moment when they were 6 days old is going to be the moment that ruins their life for the rest of their lives and their children and their grandchildren, and it's all our fault because of whatever this was. And listen, knowing that we're not going to do it perfectly doesn't mean that we give it less than our best. It doesn't mean that we just, it doesn't matter. But it does mean that we have to learn to entrust our children to God. We have to learn this. And we'll talk about what this looks like, but I want to talk about why first. Because the why behind the what really does matter. And I'm going to warn you before I say this, it's going to feel weird when I say it. But we need to hear it. And so here's your bottom line for today. You can trust God with your kids because He loves them more than you do. And He doesn't have any of your dysfunction, okay? You can trust God with your kids because He loves them more than you do and has none of your dysfunction. And dysfunctional families aren't new. It's simply a reality that every family for all time has had to deal with. If you need any proof of this, open up the Bible. Doesn't matter what page. Just pick a family. Just pick one, okay? Dysfunction is the norm. It's not the exception. You know, the very first set of siblings to ever exist, one killed the other one. Okay, Adam and Eve's kids, Cain and Abel, one of them killed the other one. Jacob had a favorite kid, and his brothers hated him so much they sold him into slavery. Okay, Noah, drinking problem. Saul, The first king of Israel was so jealous of his son's best friend, he tried to kill him multiple times. No family gets it right 100% of the time. Not even Mary and Joseph were perfect, okay? You remember this story? This is one of my favorite parenting stories in the whole Bible, from Luke chapter 2. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. That's awesome. Because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. Now, that's about as real of a parenting story as it gets, ain't it, parents? Help me out here. They didn't miss him at first. You know why? Because it was quiet. That's why. There wasn't somebody asking them 3,000 questions a minute. And so they go, but then they had the moment that all parents have. You're like, oh, this is nice, but it's too quiet. And then they started looking around and they realized that they lost Jesus. They lost the Son of God. Maybe they should have had one of them backpacks with a leash on it. You know what I'm talking about? They need a little TikTok, Instagram reel instruction on parenting, I guess. I don't know. Their anxiety was through the roof. It had to be. Had to be. But the thing that calms worry and anxiety is trust. It's trust. And Scripture reminds us over and over again that we are to put our trust in God. No matter what's going on, no matter what the situation is, knowing that God is working in the middle of that situation, even when things aren't going according to our plan, which, at least if you're like me, is most of the time, because I think I know how it should go. And God says, no, we're not doing it that way, bud. That's why I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is working in my life. And I hope that you're thankful He's working in yours as well. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 22. Now, if you're following along in the YouVersion Bible app, you can hit the event tab and look for Swiss Cove. You can follow along in there as well. Romans chapter 8. Beginning in verse 22, here's what the author has to say. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Okay? So our ultimate hope as followers of Jesus is to be free from sin, free from the bodies we currently have, and be physically present with Jesus. Yes? That's what we're looking forward to. Free from sin, free from these bodies, physically present with Jesus. And we learn in Acts chapter 2, 38, on the day of Pentecost, Peter told us that we receive the forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit when we're baptized or immersed into Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit does a lot of things in our lives, and we don't, honestly, we probably don't talk about that enough, but I want to dive into this a little bit today. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is seals us for the day of salvation, okay? And we read about that in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14 is what Paul had to say to the church in Ephesus. He said, "And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." So we don't have our new bodies yet. We're looking forward to those more and more every day. But we're not also physically in the presence of Jesus yet either. But the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee, His seal on us, that we will be redeemed. Now, this is the redemption of our bodies that the author of Romans is talking about as well. We don't have it yet, But it's a hope that we have, and the Holy Spirit seals our connection with God. So we don't have, that's why we don't have to worry about Him abandoning us, even though we still struggle with sin, even though we still go through all kinds of hardships in life, and sometimes we suffer greatly. But the Holy Spirit instills in us a deep sense of God's love. And that's the basis for the hope that we have, and acts as God's pledge that He will continue to work in us and through us and on our behalf. See, you can trust God because He sent Jesus to die for you and the Holy Spirit to live within you. He sent Jesus to die for you and the Holy Spirit to live within you. And there are a lot of days that I have no idea what to pray for. How about you? There are a lot of days. I have no idea what to pray for. That's true as an individual. That's true as a parent. That's true as your pastor, too. I have no idea what to pray for. And this is another amazing thing about the Holy Spirit. Remember what the author of Romans said? I want to read that one more time. Romans 8:26 says this: in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. What does that mean? Well, it means when we don't have words, the Spirit carries us anyway. When we don't even know what to pray for, the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. That's another reason why we can truly trust that God is working on whatever this situation is in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that life will be easy. That doesn't mean that God's going to fix it the way I wish He would fix it. You know, I was up in New England a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about a lot of times I get mad at God because He's not fixing things the way that I want Him to fix them. And He just says, listen, I'm fixing it the way it needs to be fixed, not the way you want it fixed. And I said, oh man, okay. That doesn't mean my life's going to be easy. And it means that God is going to use all the things that I'm going through in my life and the circumstances that I find myself in to shape me and grow me and mature me in Christ so that I can better reflect Jesus better. However, we have this overarching hope in the storms of life. And we know that if God is for us, it's going to be okay. Because listen, let me ask you a question for real. What's too big for God to handle? What is it? What is it in your life that's too big for God to handle? Listen, the culture that we live in, the world that we're in, its beauty and its troubles, none of it is surprising to God. And He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your family. And He knows your hopes. He knows your fears for yourself, for your kids, for everybody you love. And listen, He loves them more than you do. He loves them more than you do. That's not to say you don't love them. I know you do. You love them deeply, but He loved them enough to send Jesus to give His life for them. And then He sent the Holy Spirit to live inside them once they're saved. Okay? That's an incredible love. That's an incredible love. And that should instill within you a deep sense of peace and trust. Because we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I want to ask you. Who do you trust? You know how you know? Who you turn to reveals who you trust. Who you turn to reveals who you trust. Where do you turn when things aren't going the way that you hoped? Because who you turn to reveals who you trust. It's easy to be overwhelmed by whatever the circumstances are in your life, the phase of life that you're in right now. It's easy to be like, this is it. This is it. I don't know how we're going to come back from this. How many times have you done that in your life? You've done that a bunch of times if you're anything like me. And now you look back on that season with fondness because you're like, man, I wish we could go back to that. But what happens is you forgot all the hardships that you were in the middle of at the time. Now, I don't say any of that to belittle what you're going through right now. I say all of that to say God is going to work with you and for you and through you in the middle of that. And smooth sailing is not a phrase that happens often in family life, is it? It's just not. As parents, maybe you're enduring sleepless nights right now because you got a newborn. Maybe you're enduring sleepless nights because you got a teenager. Yeah. Empty nesters, you know that once kids leave the house, you just don't worry about them ever again, right? Yeah, sure. No. Your concern for them doesn't wane just because they're not physically present. It's just quieter now. Singles, and couples without kids, trying to balance the high demands of life and trying to meet basic needs and still juggle all kinds of stuff with extended family and everybody asking, when you having kids? When you having kids? When you just stop. I don't know. Kids and teens growing up, man, the pressures now are, they're high, both socially and at school. And the question for every one of us, no matter our phase of life, is the same, though. And the question is, do I really trust God with this? Do I really trust God with this? And one of the ways that you can tell if you trust God is if you're asking him for guidance or blessing. Which one is it? You're asking him for guidance or blessing? What's the difference? Well, really, the difference is in the order of operation. See, I want to ask you, when you come to God and you ask him about something, did you ask God for what you should do and then wait for the answer? Or in your worry, did you wrestle down the problem, come up with a solution, implement the solution, then ask God to bless it? Which one is it? Okay, because there's a difference. There's a difference. Because in one, you're asking God to lead, and then I'm going to wait and follow what you said. And in the other, you're like, God, just bless my brilliant plan. That's kind of like the person who comes to you for advice, but they already made up their mind. You know who I'm talking about. Don't point at them, okay? They come to you for advice, but they've already done it. They just want you to tell them it was a good idea. It's kind of like that when you go to God and say, bless this plan that I made. Okay, don't do that. Don't do that with God. Now, there is a third group, and maybe you fall into that category too, because some of you didn't ask God at all. It never even occurred, never even crossed your mind at all. You just came up with the plan, you implement it, and you hope for the best, because you executed it and hopefully it went okay. I want to challenge you, no matter which of those latter two groups you are, I want to challenge you to trust God enough to ask and then wait for the answer. And I know that's hard. It's easy for me to stand here and say that. It's hard to live, though. Ask and then wait for the answer. And the problem is that the answer might come right away, but it might not. It might not. The answer might come while reading Scripture, while praying, while sitting in silence. We talked about that last week. The answer might come through repeated messages that you're seeing everywhere you look, whether it's you're reading three different books, and they're all saying the same thing, and also the conversation you have with your best friend. You saw a billboard on the side of the road. All this. Listen, God can do whatever he wants to do. He can speak to you however he wants to speak. He can speak audibly if he chooses to do so. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. I'll tell you this, most often for me, his answers come when I'm still and when I'm quiet and when I wait. And it's a gentle nudge from the Holy Spirit. I pray for my family every single day. I hope that you do too. That's part of entrusting them to God. See, when fear mounts in my life, which it has a tendency to do, I have to intentionally hand all of that to him, because I know that he loves Abby and Micah and Eden and Elijah more than I do. I know that he does. So I've got to choose to focus not on the fear in my life, but on my Father who has it under control. And one of the best ways to remind yourself that God is working all things together for your good and his glory is to just name the things that he's doing in your life. And name the things that he's done in your life. Now, I'm not talking about the things that you remember from Bible study that you read in Scripture that he did in other people's lives. That's great. You should do that too. But what I'm talking about right now are the specific things that he has done in your life as an individual. And you can do this individually. It's even better to do this as a family, though. It's even better to do this as a family. Because in this way, as you start listing out the things that God has done for you and your family, what you're doing is you are teaching your family to look for what God is doing in their lives and to give him glory for the way that he has worked and is working in their lives. And why are we doing that? Because the goal here is to trust God with your family and teach them to do the same. And teach them to do the same. You want to model for them what it looks like to trust God. You want to turn to him first and turn to him often. But you got to show them how. You got to lead them well. And none of this is easy. None of it is. Because family's hard. Parenting is hard. That's just the reality. We're going to face missteps and hurts and struggles and our vulnerabilities and our inadequacies, they have the potential to turn us from God, but they can also help us learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. We can trust God with our families because we know that He loves them more than we do and has none of our dysfunction. And listen, I don't know what your physical earthly family looks like, but I know that He's given us an incredible, incredible family here at Swiss Cove. The support here and the encouragement here, this is a real community. We talk about we're in this together. That's not just a phrase that we say at the end of service. I have lived it and love that, okay? There's so much wisdom in this room right now. And if I can, I'd like to talk to our seniors for just a minute specifically, because I want to ask a favor of you. I want to ask you to adopt one of our younger families, if you will, okay? I want to ask you to adopt one of our younger families, because listen, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your encouragement. We need your guidance. In case nobody's told you lately, I just want to say this to you. We value you and we honor you. We're thankful for the life experience that you have and your willingness to share that. So this is me asking you, please don't keep it to yourself. Please don't. Please sidle up next to somebody else and adopt them into your family. And those of us with kids, you need to remember, we all need to remember, we ain't walking through this alone. Whatever you're walking through, I promise you, there's somebody in this room right now who's walked through something very similar, if not the same, okay? Don't be afraid to ask for help. Because the Spirit of God, I believe this, He's led us here to this place with these people. I believe that. And I can tell you from personal experience that there is love and wisdom in this place. You can't find anywhere else. You can't. Where else are you going to go to find people who are all pushing in the same directions, five generations meeting in the same place at the same time every week? Where are you going to go to find that? You can't. So don't miss this opportunity, young families, to engage in relationships with our seniors. Don't do that. Because they love you. I know them. They love you, and they want what's best for you. They want what's best for your family. And in addition to all of that, if that wasn't enough, those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. If you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, let's make today the day. Let's make today the day. Come talk with me before you leave. I'll be down here in just a minute. I'd love to chat with you about what that means. If you don't want to come down front or talk to me, then find somebody who has a name tag on. That means they're one of our staff members or they're one of our elders. We'd love to chat with you about what that looks like. And if you're with us on the stream or on the podcast, you can email us at hello@swisscovechristian.com. That's hello@swisscovechristian.com. I hope that you'll do that. The Holy Spirit gives us the reassurance that whatever comes, we can trust God. Whatever comes, we can trust God. Because our place in His family is secure, and we've come to Him. We can come to Him with everything and know that He loves us and that He's working it out for our good, for His glory. And so we're going to model what it looks like to trust God. We're going to lead and love our families well. We're going to lead them to trust God as well. And we do all of this because we know that as much as we love them, He loves them even more. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thanks for loving us so much. Thank you for the privilege of being here in your presence this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being family. God, help us to love each other well. Help us to trust you and to seek your guidance each and every day of our lives. Thank you so much for Jesus. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen.